This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online.
It's back to school season, and while I am more than happy not to be spending my days studying, I do miss learning new things and feeling like you're growing so much.
Yeah, I feel like as adults, we just never make the time to learn something new. Like, what was the last thing that you think you learned?
Probably Mai Tai, but that was months and months ago now. So I do want to reconnect with that sense of curiosity that I had as a child.
Yeah. And that's where therapy can help. It offers you a chance to have your back to school era no matter your age. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
Because it's entirely online, it's convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule, unlike school or college.
And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist. And if you want, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
With over 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/HMD today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HMD. Go loud.
Like literally be meeting your husband and wife on the other side of that door.
There's a big question on everyone's mind about Love is Blind. Is the marriage real?
We didn't speak for 5 weeks, and the next time I heard from him was when he rang me to ask me where to send my stuff. You see this conversation, but what you're actually seeing is two different conversations at two different times with two different people.
Welcome to On My Drink with Charlene and Ellie. Our podcast is like a group chat between your best friends, the girls' bathroom, and a night out where you spill all the gossip on relationships, dilemmas, and
life.
If you're a returning listener, welcome back. And if you're a new listener, welcome. I feel like today we will have a lot of new listeners.
Yeah.
Seeing as our guest is amazing. You'll see
unreal.
How My Drink is out for you every Wednesday at 12 PM, but we also have bonus episodes every Monday at 12. So you can listen to more of those now on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch the podcast if you're not a listening kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Our podcast episodes are out on Thursday on YouTube at 12.
Yes.
So podcast Wednesday 12, video Thursday at 12. So on this week's episode of How My Drink, we spoke to Love is Blind UK contestant Sabrina Vittoria. If you're not familiar with Love is Blind, by the way, I feel like we didn't explain
what it is.
Someone hasn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, 15 girls and 15 boys go into a pod setting.
Mm-hmm.
When I say pod, I mean like a little room.
Yep.
And they date each other through a wall. So no one knows what each other looks like. They're not allowed to say what they look like at all.
No, yeah, you can't give any inkling into your appearance or anything. Yeah. It literally is like what it says in the tin, you where Love is Blind. You're dating for the person and who they are.
The heart.
Yeah.
And it's on Netflix now if you want to go watch it, but it's addictive.
Oh, yeah.
I've said so many times on the podcast, I don't watch many shows, I don't get addicted to many shows, but this is.
Oh, I was waiting, counting down.
I know, because you can't, when they first came out, you couldn't watch them all together. Yeah, they were coming out on separate dates.
Every week it was coming out. And then when the reunion was coming out at 9 o'clock or whatever time it was, I was literally lying on the bed, refreshing Netflix so the new episode will come out. It is so addicting.
It's so interesting. So, we're really excited for this week's episode.
Yeah.
So this week we have a very special guest. I'm sure lots of you will know her from her recent appearance on Love is Blind UK, Ireland's own Sabrina Vittoria. Welcome to My Drink.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So good.
I'm
on.
So excited.
Yeah.
So excited. The three of us were chatting there a few minutes ago, and every time we say something, we're like, no, we have to keep this for the episode. Keep everything for the episode.
I feel like it's so many questions because it's everything is so unknown.
Yeah.
So much about it. Can you tell us a bit about your life before Love is Blind UK?
Yeah, so obviously you guys don't really get an insight into where people were before the show.
It's true, yeah.
Which is funny because we do obviously talk about that a lot throughout it, whether that's in the lounge or with the guys. But I actually had been in a relationship for 10 years.
Wow.
So then, I was 21 when we met, 22 when we got together, 32 then when I found myself being single again. And it was just a case of we grew up together and we grew apart. And that happens. And, it was all very amicable. But then I found myself thrown into the world of dating again at 32 with dating apps and everything had changed.
Yeah.
And
did you find that hard to?
Awful.
Did you?
Awful. I was like, this is horrific. And I found myself even being really shallow on dating apps because you go on and you're looking at the photos and you're being like, okay, like, are they hot? And then you're checking the height. And yeah. like, I'm 5'1". I have no right to be going to say, is he over 6 foot? Yeah, like, who am I? Like, absolutely no right.
Things that we all do, isn't it?
All of this.
Yeah.
So it was that shallow approach. And then I found that there were so many people that were on dating apps that just wanted attention as opposed to dating with intention. Mm. And I was at that part of my life where I did want to meet someone and I wanted to settle down.
Yeah.
So, you know, I spent a few years really just working on myself. I'd done a lot of therapy. I went solo traveling to South America and the Galapagos Islands and Hawaii. And I just really felt like I was in that place in my life where I had a successful career. I had my own place. I had my life together. And the only thing that was really missing then was that person to share it with.
Yeah.
So then I thought, well, why not try an unconventional?
Because I'd say in 10 years, you forget how to date or how to talk to people. I'd be like, what? How do I talk to a man?
What do I do?
Like, honestly though, but, and it's so surreal. And, you know, even like the little things of like going on a first date again and understanding, well, what is acceptable to have a conversation around?
I know.
What and different people want different things. Yeah. And when you are that, like in your 30s and you're dating again, a lot of the time, not always with people, but a lot of the time it is with that intention of a serious relationship.
Yeah.
But it's, how many dates do you go on before you start having serious conversations?
Yeah,
I know.
And that's where Love is Blind is great because it takes out all of that. There's, you know,
you're just jumping straight in.
People want one thing when they sign up. So did you like sign up yourself? Did you choose to do that or did someone send it? Like how did
I applied. Yeah.
You applied? Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What's the application process like?
So it's quite a long process. So I was going through that for a couple of months. So you fill out an application, you can submit a video with it, then it's initial phone call, then another phone call, and then you start with Zoom interviews. So they record all of them and they'll like, you'll maybe do like a 45 minute, an hour Zoom. Then the next one, they'll dive deeper into things and then the next one. And then the final part of the process is actually going and doing screen tests and meeting the execs in London.
Wow.
And then I did that and a week later I was offered the show.
Do you have to do some kind of medical for like psychiatric assessment?
Oh yeah, probably, yeah. So you have to do a psych test. Mm-hmm. And I had just read this amazing book called The Psychopath Test, which is about like spotting psychopaths in real life. So then I was like asking the guy who was doing my psych test about how I could spot. And he's like, I was like, oh, did I fail? Because I was like, I have not paid attention to what we're meant to be doing. I want you to tell me how I'm going to spot a psychopath.
He's, he's great. Get it right.
So we did a psych test and then you have to do like sexual health tests.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that was it. I think that was the two big things that you had to do.
Yeah.
You just submit in advance that they arranged.
And like your hour Zoom calls, like what would they be? What would you be talking about for an hour? Anything? Or?
So they want to really get to understand why you're single, why you're ready to go on the show, are you ready for marriage, what your situation in life is, why Love is Blind. Then they want to know like personal stories. So, that, you know, like I had just lost Gigi, my granny, like right before I applied. And I think that was probably, that probably influenced why I applied as well, I think, because I'd lost someone who was such a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably was trying to fill that gap a little bit in 100%. The sense of this person who had showed me such immense love in my life. So, you know, I spoke about that and they talk about your childhood. And I suppose they're trying to figure out as much about you as possible. But they'll also have lighter conversations of like, what TV shows do you like? What? Because they're obviously trying to see, is there someone out there for you? Or is there going to be connections that you'll make in the pods? Because otherwise it defeats the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So like literally everything.
Wow. And then once you obviously were offered it, how many months later were you in there? Like how many suitcases do you pack? Like
what do you bring?
Yeah. How were you allowed to tell, or are you allowed to tell anyone?
So you're at that stage, you're only allowed to tell like immediate, like
close family
and friends. So I had told my mom, my sister, and then my two best friends, Ross and Claire, and that was it. And then I had spoken to my work and the problem, you have a job.
Yeah.
You have to tell.
So
I was able to speak to them in confidence and it was really, I had worked there for 8 years and I was director of marketing and communications and I absolutely adored my job, but it was the busiest time of the year for them. And it was like a no holiday policy and the like company wide. And the problem is I didn't know if I was going to be gone for 3 weeks or 3 months. Because obviously it depends how far you get in the experiment.
Yeah.
So you might meet someone, you might not, and you might go home. You might meet someone and not get followed because they don't follow everyone. Who meets someone. So I had to have a conversation with them. We tried to make it work. We couldn't. So I had 5 weeks to like, handle my team, do a full handover, create like a brand Bible for all of the companies I was working across, pack, get clothes. God. And like I wear, like Charlene, you'll know this, I'm always in black. Yeah. Like I wear so much black. Yeah. And they were like, you can't wear black on camera.
You can't.
Like it doesn't look good. Like you have to minimize how much we want you in color in the pod stage.
So
because obviously
I'd be filming.
I always find that's mad because I find when I'm filming myself, if I wear black, I look more tan or something.
So it's fine in the apartment settings and in Greece and stuff, but in those pods, whatever way the colours and stuff were, they were like neutrals and blacks. So then I had to go and buy all these new clothes, and I was like, I'm a rainbow and I'm not a rainbow. So I literally had these like 5 insane weeks off just trying to get finished up. And like I worked to midnight the night before I left to go to fly to London to then go to Sweden.
So you had no time to think about it really, as in like what you're about to go through.
Well, I had applied in March.
Okay.
So I had like, just doing quick math there, not my strong point.
Yeah.
I had like a full 5 months before I'd even left. So I'd really considered.
But I mean to like get, once you're, you get accepted, to get nervous, like did you have time to even like process that you're going on it really like that
way?
Not at all.
Then I actually kind of was, and I think you can probably see this, the first few days in the pod, I was like really run down, like just completely drained and felt really sick. And then you see, I think I'm like, okay, guys, when I was watching the first episodes with my friends and family, I was like, I swear I get better. I was like, just ignore me in the first few episodes. I don't look great, but we're going to improve, I promise.
So are the pods in London?
They're in Sweden.
Sweden?
Yeah.
So you filmed all in Sweden?
Wow.
So we filmed in Sweden, London and Greece.
Wow.
So we filmed the pod part in Sweden.
And how long were you in the physical pods for?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And how did you find that experience? Like,
do you know the first day, so you don't, like the lounge is like kind of the area where like the girls and the guys kind of hang out in between dates. And I'll never forget like all of us. So I had traveled with 5 girls and then the other 10 had traveled together. Four other girls. So there was 5 of us that traveled together. And like we were all really buzzing because we had obviously really got to know each other and spent a couple of days in London. But then going and everyone being in that lounge that first day, all 15 of us. And
is there 15?
15 girls, 15 guys. Like the atmosphere, like the excitement. And then like when you're standing outside that door for the first time.
I'd say so.
And I just remember just being like, like taking this big deep breath, being like, because you could like literally be meeting your husband and wife at the other side of that door. And then like the first day you date everyone.
Okay.
Wow. And are you aware that you're being filmed the whole time?
In the actual pods, no.
No.
You don't see any of the cameras. It would be quite like, I'd say like Big Brother-esque in the sense that
there isn't a cameraman in the room. Like,
and like sometimes you'll be sitting in the lounge and then the cameras will turn. Like you'll see that they're going to like twist. And what have they said over there? I want to go see what the gossip.
Oh my God.
But once you leave the pods, if you get into that final cast, you have your own crew. Then your own camera crew that is then with you for the rest of your journey.
So you get really comfortable with them.
Yes.
I think that's probably how they get you in a way, because you're really comfortable to open up about everything.
Yeah, just to chat to them.
Because I always think like, imagine someone sitting in my day. Like, because you do tell everything, but then you realize it's going to be on TV as well.
And you forget. Like, you first go in and you're sitting up and and like, there's so much you guys don't see. Like, one of our dates, me and Stephen, like, I'm literally like lying on the ground in the pod painting and we just painted together. And like, because you just get so comfortable and...
Yeah.
Do you like feel that connection even with like, say like not Stephen, like other people you dated, like can you feel people's energy through that wall?
I just energy's like, huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, sometimes... The pods can be quite emotionally draining.
It can imagine,
sometimes the lounge can be emotionally draining because sometimes, so the way it works is every day you date everyone and then gradually as the days go on, you date less people and the dates get longer. So when that happens, you gradually have more time in between dates and like there's nothing to do in that lounge. So you're sitting there.
You have no phone.
You don't have a phone until after Greece.
After Greece,
so there's nothing. There's no entertainment. Like the guys had a pool table. When we found that out, we were like, excuse
me.
We were sitting there trying to like make up games and play doing wheelbarrow races around the lounge.
Could you not even have books? Nothing.
Nothing. No music, no books, no nothing.
What's the reason behind that, do you know?
Because you're meant to be dating with intention and that's all you're meant to do for that time.
Just focus on that.
Solely focus on dating. And like it works, it obviously does work, but at times it can be a bit emotional warfare. So every day in the pause is a little bit different from an energy perspective. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you'd have to go into a date and be like, guys, can we just have fun today? Or like, I'm happy to go deep or...
Yeah, depending on how you felt that day.
And you have to communicate that. Otherwise, people were going on dates and... they were like, oh, she was a bit sore, he was a bit off. But the reality is it's probably just...
It's the pods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my
and
God.
In the... Where you'd live, is it like an apartment with the 15 girls?
So it's hotel.
Hotel, okay.
So we stay in a hotel. And
do you have your own room?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
in
course.
Your own room. And then they bring you to the pods every day.
Okay. Is your would your social battery be gone by the end? Like... By the end of every day, I just couldn't speak.
Like, some of those days were really long days. I'm like, girls have hair and makeup to think about. Guys don't have to worry about that.
It's an easy job.
Yeah. So, like, if you're told you're leaving at 6 a.m.,
you're up at
5 to get your hair and makeup done. And then sometimes you'll be filming to 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, they do it for you, though. You don't
have to
do it.
No, you do your own hair.
Oh, you do yourself?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you do your own hair and makeup.
Okay.
Except for the reveal. They do, like, you do your own hair and makeup, but then they top it up for you and just make sure you're good.
Okay. Yeah.
And on the wedding day. But every other
you do it yourself.
Yeah. You need to tell Ellie about the fringe story, the £1 fringe.
So I had
what did you do?
I had a fringe going in.
Yeah.
But like, it was really bad timing. I had my friend's wedding a couple of weeks before going into the pods. And I was like, right, I'll go and get a wee fringe trim before. You know, you want to look good for your friend's wedding. And the girl I normally go to wasn't available. So I just went into this like local salon and was like, oh, I just want a little fringe trim. And I'm looking. And I had like, it was quite a long fringe and like kind of like,
shaped out,
like, so it like really sat really nice with my hair, and she's cutting it, and I was like, what is she doing? And I'm looking at my fringe, just getting shorter and shorter. And like, then it was like literally up here, like I look like what do you call him out of Futurama, Dr. Soyberg, you know,
no.
Like, is it him? And she charged me a pound. She obviously knew she'd done me dirty. she was like
£1.
She's like, I have to charge her something, but I've really done this girl dirty. So she charged me £1.
What did she say? Come here, I'm so sorry. Just give us a pound.
I thought it looked lovely
she
in the pod.
No.
No. But that was like 3-4 weeks later. So that was three, four weeks of growth still.
Yeah.
It's still really short.
The fact she even charged you the pound as well, though, like, what?
It was just insulting. Yeah. Just like salted the weight.
Yeah, why would you even ask for that? Like, what?
I used to have a little micro fringe. Like, intentional micro, like, literally across. I was like Lord Farquaad just going around. And I had a bob.
Yeah, that's I never a better had a analogy than comparison. And
what's his name? Dr.
Soyberg.
No, that was a good one.
I love that show. No,
that was a good one.
It was awful. So then throughout the pods, I was like, this fringe... Because it's so hard. Like, if you're filming for 12 to 16 hours a day and that fringe, and my hair is quite thin in the sense that once you style it, like, it doesn't necessarily stay.
Yeah.
So I've like start with a full fringe, and by the last episode, I've no fringe. I was like, get this gone. Fringe gone.
Oh my God, I can't believe that.
Is there anything like big that you know yourself or from someone else that wasn't aired?
Like,
obviously, there's
connection.
So much content. Oh.
Jesus.
So that's, you don't see that. You know, you think that Stephen and me
was your own,
engaged really quickly. Uh-huh. We were actually the second last couple to get engaged.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought you were the first.
The magic of
see?
The magic of editing. Yeah, wow.
So there's so much that you don't see. And I think, do you know what would have been really lovely? For you guys to see more of the dynamic in the lounges.
Really?
The friendships that were formed between the girls and also the guys.
Aww.
Like I have friends I'm going to have for life.
Yeah.
Which is longer than my husband. So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, these girls I'm going to have forever. So, like, you just don't get to see how much fun and the love and how much everyone respected each other and cared for each other.
Yeah.
So it would have been nice for you guys to see more of the pod squad, as they call
it. Yeah, it's mad, like, what you can hide on telly, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the fact you didn't have your phones or anything, I know you're, like, did you have a sense of time in there? I know we mentioned it at Love Island and stuff.
Love Island, yeah.
You've no sense of time. Do you have a sense of time in there now? So, like, could you be in a date for, like, hours, like, or?
No, so the dates are all set times.
Okay.
And someone listens in to every date.
Right.
So that you just make sure that you don't, so it's really strict. You do not talk about anything physical. Because that's not what it's about. It is love is blind. You're dating blind. You're there to make a soul and a heart connection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you have your set time and then they tell you, okay, like they'll give you a 5-minute warning and then like a 3-minute warning, then a 1-minute warning.
Mad. Have you ever said anything and they're like, ah, Serena, stop it? Or like, what would they call you out on if you mentioned?
There was one date that I had with another person and we both realized we were big into Formula One. So we like sat talking about like Formula One and talking
for the whole day.
And then at the end of it, the person was just like, that was the most boring 46 minutes of my life. Because we had just spoken about Formula One. And they're like, this is not the point either, guys.
Oh, God.
We're meant to find a cellmate.
We're like, so what do you think of the Red Bull dominance this season?
I saw you were just there. Actually, was it
amazing? Oh my gosh, it was incredible.
I didn't realize how often there's Formula One throughout the year.
Yeah.
I thought it was only like one big thing a year, no?
No, oh gosh,
I loved the Netflix show. I was hooked to that.
I think I started and couldn't get into it.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Addicted. It's just so, the atmosphere, like everything that, like the fan zones, like everything that just comes with it. It's just incredible.
Just good vibes.
Like, I love it. I'm addicted. Wow.
And then we need to talk about Stephen, of course, who was your connection. Well, you had two connections. And can you say who the other connection was?
I can, but I think out of respect for them, I don't feel the need to. Yeah. You know, it hasn't been Sean. I don't feel the need to.
For the reason, What drew you initially to Stephen? Who was...
So it's really funny because on our first day, I couldn't understand him.
Could you not?
No, because that first day where you date everyone, it's so quick.
Yeah.
And they're like, I think it's like 7 or 8 minutes. So it's like real, like literally speed dating. Yeah. To know everyone. And obviously everyone's super hyped and excited. I literally could not understand a word he was saying.
Like, where's he from?
Birmingham.
Oh, yeah.
And I just couldn't understand him. They are hard to understand. Yeah. So like, I was just like, nah, not interested. And then the next day I like had him again on a date and we just really clicked. And from day two onwards, we clicked about different mindsets and, you know, our outlook on life. And it was just so much that we really shared our
interest in.
Yeah, and our opinion on and our values. And then there was a couple of really big moments within the pods that you don't really see that kind of were... Like, I really respected Stephen for how he approached them. So, like, the kids' conversation. So, obviously, this was a big one.
Yeah.
And there's been so much noise and so much chatter online about that was never going to work because he wanted kids and she didn't want kids.
Yeah.
And, like, you see this conversation, but what you're actually seeing is two different conversations at two different times with two different people.
That's amazing.
Are they meshed together like a puzzle? Like,
so it shows you that it's two different conversations at two different times.
Okay.
But they don't, and it's left to your discretion. So obviously everyone assumes that it's just
about me and Stephen.
So they're never actually making it out that it's just done in a way that
but it looks like
assume.
Wow.
So what really actually happened was that me and Stephen had a conversation about kids probably in like day three. Like I think first two dates were kind of getting to know each other. So it's probably date three or four. And he had spoken about the importance of him wanting to have kids. And I said, look, the reality is I was 35 at the time. I was like, I'm 35. For me, it's really important that if I meet someone that I have a couple of years with my husband, I want to travel the world together. I want to go on adventures. Like, I want to spend time just us before we bring
another life
into that. I was like, I want to have a really strong foundation and I want to have all of this adventure and joy with my person. Mm-hmm. It's like, so the reality is I might not be able to have kids when that time comes.
Well,
I was like, but the other side is, I'm not that pushed on like being pregnant. Like I would be very happy to have a surrogacy or adoption.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying I don't want kids. I'm very open to kids.
Yeah.
And how that looks just might be a little bit different than how you
different
initially.
Avenues.
Yeah.
And you have to be realistic. Unfortunately, a woman in, you know, at that, by that stage in the late 30s, like you don't know what is going to be possible. So Stephen had said, okay, look, I obviously need to think about this because it's not your average answer. It's not really what I was expecting. So then we dated, continued to date. And like maybe 4 or 5 days later, he was like, okay, I know that we need to talk about, you know, the elephant in the room. And he said, I've really thought about this and I'm good. He says, I realize that you're not telling me that I can't have anything.
You just want time first.
Yeah. And he says, not telling me I can't have what I want in life.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It's just a different avenue. And and that's okay. I'm okay with that. You know, I'm totally okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really respected the fact that he went and took the time to ruminate and think about it, and what this would mean for him, what would it mean for me, and what it would mean for us as a couple. And I really, really, really respected that.
Yeah.
And for me, that was just like, okay. Mm-hmm. Because some people didn't react the same way. And for some people, it was just a...
Point blank, no. Yeah, point that was a no. Yeah.
And then the other thing that I really loved his reaction to was the fact that I'd quit my job to do the show. And he's like, I've done the same. Love that.
Yeah.
Like, so there was so much that we aligned on and really connected with that you guys
didn't see
the bigger picture.
Yeah. God. It's so nice in a sense that like on the third date you could talk about kids because in like the real world, whatever, like normal dating.
You'd be like, here.
Yeah, but it's nice, but it just gets... to the point, it cuts out all the bullshit of like what people want. Are they just here for this and that? Like, it's nice that you can actually just have them conversations really openly. Like,
and that's
definitely something I do on the first date.
Like, really?
Charlene and Natalia, I'm very bad, like, very bad.
No, but not.
Some, maybe not kids. Like, why be telling somebody I love them after like 2 days?
Oh,
I'm a nightmare.
Ellie's out here love bombing on the first
day. Literally, serial love bomber. Like, what am I like? Not anymore, thank God.
No,
but like,
no.
Jesus. But that's good the way that it does that.
It
kind
is
of,
nice, yeah.
And that's what I said. Like now I wouldn't have a clue. Yeah. You know, yeah. After going from like relationship for 10 years, working on myself to this, I have no idea how, when the time comes, I'm ever going to navigate dating again.
Yeah, it's crazy world. So yeah, literally.
No man, no stress.
No, so much less stress than life. Mm.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. It's back to school season, and while I am more than happy not to be spending my days studying, I do miss learning new things and feeling like you're growing so much.
Yeah, I feel like as adults, we just never make the time to learn something new. Like, what was the last thing that you think you learned?
Probably Mai Tai, but that was months and months ago now. So I do want to reconnect with that sense of curiosity that I had as a child.
And that's where therapy can help. It offers you a chance to have your back to school era no matter your age. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
Because it's entirely online, it's convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, unlike school or college.
And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist. And if you want, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
With over 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/HMD today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HMD.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Kunle put people at the heart of everything they create.
The way that I approach work post-fatherhood has really been trying to understand the generation that we're building devices for. Here at the Comcast family, we're building an integrated in-home Wi-Fi solution for millions of families like my own.
Now millions of families can work, learn, and play together under one roof. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.
When did you know you were ready to settle down with Stephen? And like, was there a switch in your head? Was it like a gradual feeling? Like, what made you want to get married?
So we were dating other people the whole way through. And then I think you are just naturally drawn to, like, if when your connection's that strong, you are just naturally drawn to that person. So there was one day in the pods, we were playing games just with each other and just having like a really lighthearted date. Mm-hmm. And then we played Hangman as the last game, and he went, and I was like writing thing, and he had made it so it said, "You're the one." I know all these things. So he was
cute.
Like, "I don't want to do this journey with anyone else. I just want it to be me and you. I just want to focus on our connection."
Wow.
So then we decided that that was it, just us two. We were locking in.
Yeah.
And then the next day on our date, he gave me his grandfather's ring to mine, because I had my granny's ring on and he was wearing his grandfather's ring. So he gave me his grandfather's ring to wear until we saw each other at the reveal.
Wow.
And within it was a piece of paper, and it was like, "You stole my heart and then my mind too." And it was actually the start of his proposal. So he had put that in, and then that led on to that.
And did you think you'd find love when you went in, or were you kind of skeptical, or like, did you expect to find someone?
Obviously, I was hoping that I would find someone. Like, that's ultimately what
I wanted
and what I was really longing for was that life partner. But obviously, you're skeptical, especially because I think when you watch the American one, I feel like they're a lot more open emotion-wise.
Straight away off
like,
the bat.
And I was worried that I was like, this is behind a wall.
Yes.
But honestly, guys, that wall, you really get sucked in.
Did you really not see anything behind it? Like,
there's not shadows, nothing.
Nothing.
Because I did when I loved the American one as well, but when I watched the UK, I was like, I wonder, is it going to be the same? But it is.
Yeah.
It's the same amount of like drama, feelings, emotions. Like, I did think that UK and Ireland would be more like a bit
different.
I think, I feel like when you're in that, it's kind of like us on the podcast studio. Like, we're so comfy on this couch that you end up saying everything.
Yeah.
And then after, it's like, what did we overshare like, that? But because you're in like a little home surrounding, is that what makes you just be like,
And again, remember guys, you're dating with intention. You're not doing anything else for those couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Like, there's not even batteries in the remote for your TV in your hotel. Like, you are dating without distractions. And that is all you're doing. You have no outside noise. You have no distraction. Your morning tonight is you dating.
Oh my God.
Do you just come back to your hotel and just like,
staring at the four walls?
I actually did a lot of meditation and like, I would just have to do a lot of like meditation and like some Reiki to like kind of like take away any kind of energy. I know people are probably like, what? But I'm like big into energy and energy transfer. So I would have to do that at the night just so that I would have a good night's sleep and just so that I would felt like I could start the next day fresh.
And where do you eat? Is it in the hotel every day?
No, so they bring, it's quite funny actually, so they bring food into the lounge,
ah.
But obviously they don't want anyone spilling anything, okay. So you have to wear ponchos. So everyone's, no. So everyone's sitting in their like really nice clothes with a poncho.
I wish they'd show things like that. Like that's
like Disneyland, just all going around with ponchos or something.
Yeah.
Lashings of rain, what?
That is so you won't so spill
anything. Just so you don't get your clothes dirty or spill anything.
Come here, kind of smart.
That, very
yeah.
smart.
I love it.
Very
like,
smart.
I would still manage somehow to, yeah.
to get it underneath things. You probably would.
Everywhere.
There's a big question on everyone's mind about Love is Blind. Is the marriage real?
It is, yeah.
It's legal fully marriage. Legal. Yeah yeah. yeah, yeah. So it's all legit?
Legit.
Married.
Full-on wife.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So how quickly after the proposal is the wedding? Like how long do you have together? Is it 4 weeks? No.
It's a little bit longer than 5 weeks, maybe.
Okay. Sorry, actually, I need to go back to the reveal first. Did you have an image in your head of what Stephen would look like?
Well, sure, I said I thought he was bald.
You thought he was bald? Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Do you know why?
What about height and stuff, like to do
height, nothing. The only thing I visualized was that he was bald.
Bald. Okay. Yeah.
And I think it's because he sounded a bit like a geezer. So I was is he going to be like a cross between like Phil Mitchell and Jason Statham? Like,
like tattoos or something? Like, yeah.
Like, just imagine him being this like
bald.
Yeah.
And then when I said it in the lounge, all the girls were like, same. Everyone was like, oh yeah, he's definitely bald.
And what about the other boys? Like obviously you dated everyone. Is there anyone that really shocked you that looks completely different?
Well, Nicole told us all that Benaiah had dreads. So everyone was like,
dreads.
So you knew. And, but it's so, I don't even know how to explain it. You cannot picture a person. Like you can, you will go through 1,000 different ideas in your head, but you will not settle on one. Because how can you? Like, you know nothing about this person's physical appearance.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I feel like it's like when you see somebody who works on the radio.
You always say that.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, you look
You really know their voice.
Yeah.
But it's like when you actually do eventually see them, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to even comprehend that the two of them,
and
together.
And that's hard, actually. You really hit a nail on the head there because there's almost this disconnection between the voice you've been talking to in the pods and then seeing the person.
Yeah, do you ever look at them?
You have to put them together. Like it takes a minute to like, get that combination together. Like, it's weird.
And how was that behind the screen when you're about to do the reveal?
Oh my God.
Was it nervous?
I would be nervous.
I think that's probably the most nervous part of the whole. There's so many things running through your head.
Yeah.
So like you're about to meet the physical manifestation of this person who you've fallen in love with.
Yeah.
Their heart, their mind, their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And like the excitement that you have to meet that person.
Yeah.
But then it's like,
the what ifs. Like,
are they going to find me attractive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I going to be their type?
Yeah.
Are they going to like me? Am I going to like them? What if I don't find them attractive, but I love this person? Like, what does that mean? There is so much.
My brain would be like, you you just said, you have fallen in love with what you're meant to fall in love with. Like, you know what I mean?
Their heart.
Yeah, you fall in love with what really matters with somebody. But at the end of the day, you need to fancy the pants off. Was there ever like a doubt in your mind? Like, and it's shallow of me to even ask that though. Like, if you didn't find Stephen attractive, like, could that change anything?
I think absolutely. And it did happen with some of the other reveals people weren't as attracted to each other, but obviously you don't see that. But for me, it was the final piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And yes, I fell in love blind, but that final piece of the puzzle is important.
Yeah.
And you need to have a physical attraction to your partner.
Yes.
You do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to happen.
It is such a big part. Like,
yeah.
But I must have smelt like House of Fraser in there because I just kept spraying perfume. I was so nervous. I didn't know what to do. But it could have been worse because Maria just kept putting lip gloss on.
The red lipstick.
I was dead.
And she was wearing a lip stain. But then because she was so nervous, she just kept putting it on. She just had kept putting the lip gloss on.
I've seen people make like TikToks. Did you see the one? And every time they come back to the camera, your one just has more and more and more.
It ends up being like
all over her face. I'd say when the two of them watched that, like, they were like, oh my God.
But it's hilarious.
Oh, it's so funny.
So funny.
So funny.
But like, how did no one stop and be like, Tom?
Yeah. Like, would the producers not have stepped in at that stage?
I'd say they were like, this is great TV.
I know. You think Maria would have been like, we just went. But she said, I asked her about it. And she was like, because she's like, you get it. You're so oblivious to everything, you know, you're so caught in the moment.
You probably nearly forget it looking back.
It doesn't even matter.
No.
Like, you've just seen this person you've been spending hours upon hours with every day.
Wow.
But yeah, the reveals are crazy.
How long do they go on for?
Like 15 minutes.
That's it?
That's all you get.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, so after the reveal, you fly to Greece and you spend time with all the other couples.
Yes.
What is that like then being in your sharing a hotel room with them, going from behind a wall to together the whole time? Like, what is that like?
There's something obviously really beautiful about it.
Of course.
You're with each other in person. But it's very different from the pods in the sense that you have this camera crew that is now with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that really, you don't really see much of our first kind of night day on the show. And I think it's probably because I was so uncomfortable.
Really?
I was just like,
because you could see, it just really feels visible.
It, yeah. In the pods, it's so natural because you don't see cameras.
Yeah.
But then suddenly it's like, this all doesn't this feel natural and I feel really uncomfortable and, you know.
Yeah.
So, but once you get to know your crew and they understand your boundaries and what you're happy to do mm-hmm. and like not happy to do or whatever, it just makes it so easy and you end up having a laugh with them. And I absolutely adored our crew.
Aww.
Like, absolutely loved
them. Seeing you're still friends with them.
Yeah, like they're amazing. Like, incredible people, and that makes it so much easier then.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very, very difficult. I think that hardest part was constantly having the camera on you.
Yeah. Is it 24/7?
Like, so you might have a day of filming.
Okay.
And then it could, like, say from 10 o'clock to 10 p.m. or it could, might only be a half day. So you might only actually be like, we're going to come and do some shots in your villa in the morning. Then you've got an afternoon break and then we're shooting again in the afternoon.
Okay.
Or it could be 9 to 6. So there's a lot more downtime.
Yeah.
Once you kind of get into Greece in the apartments.
Oh, it must have felt like a honeymoon nearly being in Greece.
Like, stunning. You've got your own private pool, like room service.
Yeah.
But it's funny because we get to see the other couples, but you get to see them on camera. So it's like, everyone was like, because obviously we haven't seen the other guys.
Yeah.
And Stephen hadn't seen what the other girls look like.
Yeah.
So it's the first time you're getting to see.
Was the vibes of that kind of mad? Because obviously everybody had dated everybody at one stage.
Yeah.
So I'd say everybody was nosy to see what everyone looked like.
Oh, it was so much
fun. Could you feel people kind of like, just having a little glance around and kind of...
Because what they do is like they'll start with one couple in there and then another couple will get in and then another. So it gives you really time to process it and meet everyone and everyone gets the opportunity to chat. But it honestly, that first day when we all got to meet, it was like absolute vibes. There was just such a buzz. There was just so much fun. And then obviously Nicole and Ben came in and that was just like everyone was just like ecstatic. Like it was... That first couples one on the beach was amazing.
So exciting. And how long are you in Greece for that time?
6 days.
6 days.
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you go and integrate each other to each other's lives.
Yeah.
What was that like? And like meeting the families as well. Like, is that really nerve wracking? Did they actually, when you went in, were people supportive of you going in? Did they agree with it?
So I think at first they initially have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But then when you actually sit down and explain to them, like, I think my family were very, very supportive. They were like, we get it. Like,
yeah.
You know, we just want you to be happy. And like,
exactly,
you know, my sister's like a partner and 4 kids. And like, she was like, I want you to like.
She wants that for you.
Like, wants that for me.
Yeah.
Wants, you know, just wants that. My friend, like best friends married with kids. And like, they were just like, we just want you to find your person and be happy. And I obviously had dated in between my long-term relationship and going on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say I had the worst luck of men, like.
Did you?
Oh my gosh, like
the worst frogs ever. Like
honestly, like they were really supportive. But so what happens is we move into an apartment together in London. So you're suddenly like obviously
in Camden, is it?
Yeah.
Apartment looks bloody lovely.
When
I saw it on the show, I was like, Jesus,
you're like, can I keep that? Please?
We had a 3-bed, 3-bathroom apartment with a patio that went around it, but then these stairs that led up into a full roof terrace, the whole
Wow.
Yeah. So actually in the hen, we ended up having like the hen started at mine and we all did our makeup together and had drinks.
Aww.
But it was great because obviously it's hard moving in together, but me and Stephen had our own bedroom to get ready in, our own bathroom. And then.
Is that space? Like, is right on top of each other kind of thing?
Yeah. Which helped. Yeah. But this is when you get your phones back.
Okay.
And I was really anxious about that because I know I can be quite bad on my phone.
Okay.
But then I realized a lot of it's to do with work as well. So once you take that out of it,
it's actually way less. Yeah.
You're ringing everyone and you're FaceTiming and you're like my mom and my sister.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're wondering, is she still in it?
Of course.
Nobody knows. They have got producers' numbers and stuff and welfare if there's anything.
If something happens,
There's a way to contact. But they're all sitting at home just not knowing what's going on.
And did anyone you didn't tell that you were going in, did any of them think that something had happened? Because
you just
if they were texting and you're just not here.
Obviously, I didn't have my phone for over 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So when I went and got my phone back, people had thought I had died.
That's why I was thinking. I was I would think that. Like,
people were contacting my friends to be like, I'm really worried about Sabrina. Like, people were it was like wild. So I actually put up an Instagram story being like, guys, I'm not dead. Like, I'm fine. Like, because I had all of I was like, am I this bad on social media that people think I don't post for 3 weeks?
You're loved. That's right.
Yeah.
People were like, I thought you'd blocked me. I had to go and check to make sure that you hadn't. I was worried about what I had done. I contacted Claire. I contacted your mom. People were like,
no.
where did you
really
go?
Concerned.
Like, I was just like, guys, I've just been really busy with work.
Yeah. Oh my
really
God.
Busy.
Really busy with work. Yeah. Just needed to take a little social media break.
And for anyone who hasn't watched, what did your family think of Stephen and what did they think when they met him?
Well, it's so funny because I didn't, because I wanted to really put all of my trust into the experiment.
Of course.
So I didn't want them making any like assumptions or like judgments about Stephen before they met him. So I didn't even tell them his name.
Wow.
So when they first met Stephen, they were meeting him, my fiancé, for the first time.
Wow.
From age, name, what he looked like, what he did, everything. My mom, it's quite funny because I think you can see my mom.
She was iconic.
She's
a real mom, so you can tell
that everything she's saying in it is just coming from a genuine place, like
of care.
She's like,
she's amazing. Yeah. What you don't see. So she like grills Stephen and asks all these difficult questions. And then she's like, and what about you, Sabrina? It's your turn to answer them. And I'm like, you're meant to be on my side. And she's like, Sabrina, if you're getting married, like I need you to answer these questions too. So then I got grilled.
Oh my God.
My friend Claire was just, I think, taken aback by it all. Mm-hmm. And my sister was just not on board.
No.
She just said that, like you see it, she says it on camera, that she felt like Stephen was very different as soon as the camera stopped rolling. Because once they we filmed until probably like 10 p.m. that night.
Okay.
And the camera crew and everything finished and we all stayed in my apartment.
Yeah.
So she had seen like a glimpse of it. I don't know how she'd seen it because she says he's different when the camera stopped rolling. So she must have seen it bits in between when they were maybe moving things or like doing, because we did setups in my bedroom and did setups over here and we left Stephen and my mom to talk and then, and she was just like, I'm not convinced. It's all too good to be true and I think it's just for the cameras.
Wow. And how did you feel hearing that?
Yeah, when she told you that,
someone that you're so excited to show and...
Like she said it in front of him, like it wasn't, like it was very much an open...
Yeah.
And I got really, really defensive often. And I was like, because we, the beach scenes and stuff that you see that day, we had done that morning and everything. So it'd been a really long day for us.
Yeah.
So I was just like, it was just tired. We've had a really long day. Like it's just off now. And she was just like, yeah, I'm not having this.
Wow. Do you think family just know sometimes things?
They do. They can see things that we can't.
Yeah.
Like outside, like your family can 100% see things that we're blind.
Like a magic power sometimes.
It's, I don't know.
My sister.
Yeah.
Like, Smita, if I ever meet anyone again, you're going on the second date. Like, I'm not going past date two.
What's your sister's name?
Shamisha.
That's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Just bring her on all your dates with
I
you.
I said date literally. Two onwards.
Yeah, she can find you someone now.
And, like, it's just this mad intuition. She just knows. Yeah. She's like, Sabrina, you're far too trusting of people.
Mm.
She says you take people by their word, not by their actions.
Okay.
And you just let people in too quickly. And then you only... realize when they screw you over, and she says you need to start being a little bit more
protective of your heart.
Like
you get blinded, like when you're in that phase of liking someone, like every red flag that happens you're like,
you change the color of it yourself. You really do. You find an excuse for everything.
You just squint and it turns green.
I'm
colorblind, guys.
Seriously, like that's literally what we do.
But did that instill any doubt in you when she said those things, or
I mean, of course, because obviously, like, my mom and my sister are, like, two of the most important people in my life, and I really respect their opinion, and I really value their opinion, so it was really difficult. So I actually did some therapy and stuff then during the show, like, I went and spoke, because I was like, oh, I need to work this out, and need to kind of figure out where my head's at and stuff, and try and make sense of it, because it was a lot, but ultimately... My sister was saying, like, I'm going to support you.
Yeah, no matter
what. I love you. Yeah. I care about you. I'm going to support you. But throughout, they do, like, these, like, MIV, like, master interviews, you know, the one-on-ones with camera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she said she didn't feel comfortable doing those anymore because she wouldn't feel like she was being true
to herself.
To herself. Yeah. But she would support me in my
decision. Oh, my God. Wow.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's a good sister, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
good
God,
to have someone.
Oh, yeah. Everybody needs
she's
someone
been
like that.
So protective of me ever since I was a kid. Like, honestly, when I first started going out clubbing and stuff, like, if a guy looked at me wrong, she'd be like, why are you looking at my sister? Like, don't look at her. You're not allowed to look at her. Like, she's like, she was always. Or if I was going to nightclubs I shouldn't have been at, like, there was times she would turn up at a nightclub and pull me out and get me in a taxi home.
No way.
But, oh, yeah.
Like, at the time, you probably hated her, and now you're like, do you know what?
Yeah, it makes I get it.
Like, she's honestly just the best.
It's a sister thing. It really is.
Love that.
Can we talk your wedding day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Take us through that whole day from the beginning to the end to all of it. How was that day?
Crazy.
Was it?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
yeah, it's your wedding.
Literal wedding.
Yeah.
I was really stressed because obviously you're giving up a lot of control, and I'm not great with giving up a lot of control.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't know, like, I was like, do I get to see my flowers? Like, so I didn't even get to see my flowers before the wedding.
Oh yeah, because they organize everything for you.
They organize everything.
Everything. So you do have a meeting, obviously, and they're like, this is what we're thinking. And they came in to us and they showed us this like beautiful, gorgeous pink palette and flowers. And I was just like,
nope.
Stephen was like, breathe. And I was like, I don't want any color. Like,
oh no.
I want eucalyptus and white and like greens. And like, I'm just not a, like a pink girl.
Yeah.
And so I actually then, it's quite funny. Everyone who knows me are just like, of course you did. So I ended up designing up a mood board and like sent it to them, which was like that arch. And so
it's gorgeous.
To be fair, they brought my entire vision to life.
Oh.
Which was incredible to see when I walked through that door. And that's probably why they didn't tell me, because they wanted it to have this like wow moment. But when I said, I was in tears the day before because I was so stressed. Like all of my friends were arriving. I didn't know what was even happening the next day. Like,
yeah, that is stressful.
Really stressful. But then the day itself, it was really early start, which I cried about as well. I was like, it's my wedding. Why are you making me get up at 5 a.m.?
Oh, it was 5?
5 a.m.
Nah. I'm having a late wedding. In fact, that I love my sleep.
Is that just so they
much.
Can film every as much as they can?
So much
really.
To capture. Like, you have to capture you arriving at the venue. You have to capture your hair and makeup, like getting ready.
Yeah.
Like the shots of the venue. Like there's so much that they need to capture. So I get it, but I'm just not a morning person.
I'm not either.
So I was like, this is my wedding.
They were like, early.
Come on. But once I got over that, do you know, it's so weird. Like I had like a sense of calm.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, and on the other hand, I was like, my intuition was like, this has not been enough time. Mm-hmm. Like, and I constantly, and I said that a lot in my interviews throughout the day. I was like, I am certain I love this person.
Mm-hmm.
I am certain he is my person, but it has not been enough time. We have not experienced each other outside in the real world.
Yeah.
And I think there was like this added pressure. Like, they don't pay for your friends and family to come.
I heard that on TikTok or something.
Yeah, and my brother flew in from Korea. My brother lives in South Korea, so like he had flown in for the wedding. Like my and most people were based in England, so people were just getting trains up.
Yeah.
My family all were coming from Dublin and Belfast, and South Korea. So like it was like planes, it was hotels, it was, you know, it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there was pressure of having all of them there, and you don't want to let anyone down.
No.
So it was real mixed emotions that whole day.
And the nerves of walking up the aisle then.
Nerves.
And you don't know.
And seeing all of his friends and family for the first time. Like, obviously, we've met some of them.
Yeah.
Like,
but, close family, yeah.
But I'd met, well, a few friends, and then there's 20 of them there.
Oh, my God.
So it's very surreal.
Yeah.
Very surreal.
And on that day, can you see all the cameramen and stuff around?
Oh, yeah. Like, the production's massive that day.
I'd be panicking.
Huge, huge, huge production that day.
And do the other people in the show get to come to each other's weddings? No.
No.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be lovely.
That would make sense. Because you're all like friends, you're all in the same experience.
Yeah, it would have been really nice.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because obviously it was such an early start, but it doesn't feel like the day was that long. Like it feels like so much happened.
Yeah.
So quickly. It really did. Obviously it was really beautiful to have moments with my mum and my sister and Helen and Claire before like going down.
Yeah.
And then my brother walking me down the aisle, and there were some really beautiful moments in it.
Yeah.
And then like I nearly held it together. I got really choked up at the fries.
Yeah.
And then it was honestly just one big party after.
I was going to say, before we touch on that, actually, the party, my boyfriend thought that vows were given to you by the priest. We were we were watching, it might have been your wedding or I don't know what wedding it was, and it was one.
He'll be waiting there on your wedding day.
And Graham, I was saying to him, I was like, oh, can you not wait to like read out our vows or something, whatever we were talking about. And he was like, I think he said something like, do you have to write them yourself? And I was like, yeah, like it comes from the heart. Like, he's like, do you not get given them? And I was like, from fucking who?
You might find a template on Google.
That's like I said, I said, you're going to Google it.
I'm
going
to chat GPT.
I'll find out whose wedding it came from. God.
Oh my God.
Do you know what though? I actually found it really easy to write my vows.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you're feeling them feelings, you would. Yeah.
Just like I literally wrote down, like I started off with a lot and then I just tried to like narrow it down make it like obviously make sense. But it's amazing how much, like, I would never have thought that. I always, you know, when you see, like, really emotional vows and stuff.
Yeah, you're like,
it's
never.
Amazing how much, like, how easy that comes
really?
To you.
When you feel them feelings. Like,
That's so nice.
And then how soon after the wedding then did you realise that it wasn't for you and it wasn't working out for the two of you?
Pretty quickly.
Okay.
Do you know, and this is the other thing that you guys don't see a lot of throughout it. There's a lot of conversations about London and Belfast.
Yeah.
Yes, we saw that in the reunion. Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, she said she was going to move to London and she didn't move to London. So she let down. And it's like, hang on a minute, guys. First of all, there's so much that's been left out again, TV narrative. They yeah. wanted to create this mm-hmm. whole where they're going to live storyline.
Yeah.
The reality of the situation is you can't just click your fingers and move to one city or another.
No.
I was very happy to move to London.
Mm-hmm.
However, Stephen shared an apartment with a friend. That is very normal for London. London is so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fine. But he was in a flat share. I own my own place. So if I was moving to London, it's getting a case of getting tenants in there for at least 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
Very, very minimum. So mm-hmm. once we make that decision, like it's
by permanence. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
me and Stephen had a lot of conversations on camera as well. And we had decided that we had made enough big decisions. We were making enough big decisions for like that year, 2023.
Yeah.
And we were just going to split our time. So we were going to spend a couple of weeks in London, a couple of weeks in Belfast okay. and travel back and forth together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we weren't going to do long distance. We were going to split our time.
Okay.
And that's the conversation you see him having with my mum.
Okay.
Yeah, so where yeah. he says, she asks about Belfast. He's like, I have the flexibility.
Yeah.
I have my business. I have all of that. Like mm-hmm. I am in, like that's no problem for me to do that.
Yeah.
So we both made this commitment. And then 3 days after we got married, the day before we were meant to come to Belfast, he told me he wasn't in a position to spend time in Belfast. And when we were meant to come over for a couple of weeks, we ended up only coming. I stayed longer, but he came for 3 days. So suddenly we were plummeted into long distance,
mm-hmm.
which was not the plan.
No.
And then that's fine. Things happen. People need to hustle. Go hustle. Support yeah. it. We'll make yeah. it work. So I didn't mind that. I actually am quite an independent person. He's independent. So it was fine. Okay. Not ideal when you're just married,
yeah.
but like we'll make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But then the communication really started to falter.
Okay.
And we had these daily check-ins. So this is something you don't see. And when I was talking earlier about how some days in the pod, you just need to check in to see what the person needs in those moments, whether it's, are we yeah. going to have fun today? Or are we happy to have serious conversations?
Mm-hmm.
So me and Stephen had check-ins every single day in the pods. And it was like, what do you need out of like from me today and what you need out of our day? And then we continued those check-ins in the real world.
Oh, I love that.
We always did it off camera. So yeah. we had created this safe space.
Yeah.
So every morning with a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever, we would come together and was like, what you need or what's bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly when someone was annoyed about something, instead of reacting in the moment, we would bring it to our check-ins and be like, you did this yesterday and it really annoyed me. And
wow.
like everyone was like, if this communication stays, like they are sort of like set for life.
Yeah.
But then we were doing long distance and Stephen was like, we don't need those check-ins anymore because we're doing long distance. Then he didn't want to talk on the phone unless there was a reason. And he doesn't like texting. He doesn't like talking on the phone unless there's like an actual reason to have a phone call. But we're married, hun. Like,
yeah. yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
The
yeah.
reason is we're in love.
Very big reason.
So wow. the communication fell to the wayside. We were doing long distance. I didn't mind doing most of the traveling back and forth. But for me, and this is what I tried to communicate in the reunion, that got really edited and has really pissed me off because it made me look really petty when the reality was I spoke about how I didn't mind doing that being the one to travel. But when Stephen came to Ireland, I made sure he was comfortable and felt welcome in my
house. And you bought him bits.
And I bought, like, I spent money on groceries. Yeah. And I probably could have communicated that better. But I spent
money
on
I think groceries. You came across like a boss. Yeah. I was like, slay, yeah.
Well, people have been like, imagine saying that. That's really disgusting point now. But it wasn't about, it was not a financially motivated conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
It was about all of these little things that I did to make sure he felt welcome in my home.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with how much money the food shop was.
It was the principle.
It was the fact that I
did
the food shop.
Did it. Yeah,
yeah.
And then I explained, which is all cut out, that when I went to London, it wasn't reciprocated. Mm-hmm. And like, it was a 7-hour door-to-door journey. Although the flight to London's only an hour, it's getting in airports, getting to airports, getting out.
People used to give out to you about that when you'd say long distance and they'd be like,
it's only England. I was like, no, but it takes up your whole day.
It's hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Like 7 hours door-to-door. Yeah. Yeah. And the last 15 minutes was a walk from the train station to his flat.
No.
Not once did he come and help me with my bags. Like little things things that don't cost money. It was not a financial motivated
just
conversation.
15 minutes. Your time.
I don't drink tea or coffee. I drink peppermint tea. No peppermint tea.
Well, it's like
not
70
once
cents.
Cooked for me. He was here twice. I cooked for him three times. I booked us a holiday to Greece. Like, yeah, I booked us because I was like, wanted us to have all of these things to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I was like, happy to support him. But it was the fact that I just felt like there was no consideration for me.
No.
And then, so that was kind of a real undertone. And I probably tolerated a lot of behavior I wouldn't normally tolerate in a relationship because we were married.
I know.
But then there was no check-in. So there was no safe space for me to communicate how I was feeling.
You're building up.
So I was building up. So suddenly things that were probably not a big deal started becoming
a big deal.
A big deal. Yeah. And then sometimes I would snap and he'd be like, oh my God, you're whining again or you're on me, you're nagging me. And he was getting frustrated then with me because he was like, these are small things. And I'm like, but they're not.
They're not. They're not. Like,
and then when it came to Christmas.
Yeah.
And 2 days before he was meant to come. So he's meant to come and spend Christmas with my whole family. And I was very conscious that, you know, he was hustling in London and he was a little concerned about, you know, money at that point. So I had went out of my way to make sure that when he came for Christmas, he would feel really welcome by me and my family. He didn't like my Christmas tree. I redecorated my Christmas tree for him coming.
Fuck off. Why didn't he like it?
Because of course it was black. The tree wasn't black. It was a normal tree, but it was all black decoration. So it was like, but it was like matte and shiny and glittery. And stuff. Yeah. It was all black bubbles. So he was like, Sabrina, we're not goths. And I was like, fine. So I redecorated my tree for him coming. He doesn't even know that. Redecorated my tree for him coming. I bought everyone 2 gifts, one from me, one from me and him, so that he wouldn't feel awkward.
Oh,
told my whole family to just get me vouchers, me and him vouchers, so that he didn't have to actually physically get an individual gift. So I didn't want him to feel awkward. Do you know, I had taken us to this like Rosewood Macallan whiskey experience in the Rosewood in London.
Oh, fab.
And he loved the whiskey. And it was like a £200 bottle of whiskey. And again, it's not about the money, but it was the fact he loved that whiskey. And he was like, oh, I need to get that. I need to get that.
Mm-hmm.
I bought him that so he would have it to drink. That wasn't his Christmas presents. I bought him that so he would drink, have that to drink.
Over Christmas.
Yeah. My like mom and my sister went and got loads of extra food. We're like, what does he like? What does he want? Like it was our first year without Gigi. And we would have always started Christmas with Gigi, but mom didn't want Stephen to feel awkward on Christmas Day with us going to the grave. So we had planned that I would go up a few days before he arrived so I could have my time with Gigi.
Wow.
And then they would go in the morning without us and then we would all go to my sister's together.
You changed your whole Christmas.
And this is the thing, he doesn't even realize any of this, but I did this because I wanted him, he knows now because I obviously said it after, but I wanted him to feel so welcome and my whole family wanted him to feel so welcome. And like I looked back and I've messaged him being like, the Christmas market's going to be on in Belfast when you get here, we'll have to go and stuff. And like, he didn't even respond to that. And I'm like, was he planning to not?
Were you ever going to come?
So it just really hurt me. And I think the fact that it's okay, one thing to disrespect me, but now you're disrespecting my family.
Yeah.
And like the kids and stuff were excited about it because he had came over and the kids weren't allowed to be at the wedding.
Yeah.
And they're really important to me, my niece and nephews. Yeah. So like the first weekend he came here, me, my mom, my sister, her partner and all the kids all went out bowling together and like went out and stuff so he could get to meet them and stuff. They were really excited about him coming for Christmas and it was just a complete disregard. And so that was kind of it. And then, so then we didn't really speak until the start of January and it was just back and forth. Blaming each other, arguing. I think it was just at that point, it was beyond.
It was gone, yeah.
You know, fixable. I mean, if the guy had shown up at my door apologizing and being like, I'm so sorry, hon, let's figure this out. Different, but that never happened. He obviously has his side of the story. I have my side somewhere in the middle. You know, they always say two sides of every story and somewhere in the truth.
Mm.
I have spoken my truth and tried to be respectful and as truthful as I can be. You know, as far as I'm aware, I have not lied about it. I know he accused me of it. I have not lied about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything I can't back up. And I think it just got to that point where there was so much tension. All those little things had been building up and everything just kind of exploded then at that Christmas. And then we kind of had an argument over text.
Mm.
And then we didn't speak for 5 weeks. And the next time I heard from him was when he rang me to ask me where to send my stuff.
That was the next time you heard.
Wow. But I see all them like things that you say are little, but they actually just aren't. It's such a small thought. We even say like when someone texts in about a boyfriend or something being bad, like it can be something as like a chocolate bar from the shop, but it's the thought behind everything that matters because you're like, if you cared about me, why wouldn't you do the nice things that you know makes me happy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you not want to make the person you're happy?
Yeah.
I don't understand that with men sometimes.
And like, it really was little things. It wasn't even about money. Yeah. Like, it was things like all these little things that I'm like, and I think, and I probably am in the wrong there in the sense that I probably held on to a lot of that because I didn't want to argue with him and I didn't want to like make a big deal out of it, of little things. But the problem was all these little things were then
eating away at me.
So then when it came to that point, something that maybe probably could have been fixed or solved in a better way, I was just like, nah, you have no respect.
But I think people like that sometimes, even when you tell them, they still won't, even if you had said one of the little things, you probably would have been like, what? Like,
well, anytime I did try, it was, you're nagging
me. So you're not.
I have enough going on. I've stressed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get work. I'm trying to do this. I'm PTing. Like, why are you making a big deal out of this? And I genuinely thought I was just asking for the bare minimum in a relationship and I'm being told I was asking for too much.
No, we're never asking for too much.
So do you think looking back, like he, is that the type of person he is or do you think he didn't take the experiment seriously going into it and then decided just to be like not giving his full energy?
To be fair to Stephen, I think a lot of it was circumstance.
Yeah.
And I wonder if when we came out of that, if his circumstances had have been different, would he have reacted differently?
Yeah.
You know, was it a case of the you know, he had quit his job and, mm-hmm. and when he came out, you know, I was very blessed in the sense that I was able to start my own consultancy yeah. and get clients. But I was able to do that because of the position I had set myself in. Yeah. I knew that I'd have no problem getting work. I had great experience.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I knew that I would find a job. So I wasn't stressed about that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Stephen wasn't as lucky straight out. So I do wonder if circumstances, and that's a hard pill to swallow as it well. Like tough. If things had have been better for him in his life, mm. would we have, you know, would our marriage succeeded? You know, would yeah. we have had more chance of success?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ifs and buts aren't going to change anything.
No.
Yeah, you have to just focus on what happened and where you are and how to move forward. Yeah.
Do you think the long distance had a lot to do with it? Or like, would you now be like, I'm never doing long distance again?
But like, and this is the thing. It really, you know, and you know, we had conversations and he did say, you know, we were just naive about the distance and work. And I was like,
it works for people though.
Not for me. I made it work. Like that long distance did not bother me.
Yeah.
You did your half.
It's the fact mm-hmm. that I felt like I was the only one showing up in the relationship.
It needs to be 50-50.
And like I said that to him.
How long after you broke up was the reunion then? So when was the next time?
8 months.
8 months.
Wow.
So it was 8 months until you saw him again and no contact. And
so we had contact because obviously lawyers and dealing with all of that.
Shit, yeah, you actually have to have a real divorce.
Yeah. So I've applied for an annulment. So
is that when it doesn't count?
Yeah. Okay. So now we, you know, no guarantee that we'll get that. But like, I think for both Stephen and I, that would be best case scenario. And I think we'd both really hope for that.
Yeah.
So I arranged all of that with my lawyers and stuff and had to work with Stephen through that on the paperwork. So we communicated when we had to. And it was all very pleasant. But I think for me, it was the first time seeing him face to face. And I think I had held on to so much. And for me, you know, I'd spoken to my therapist about it a lot. And I was like, so torn of whether to go in and speak my truth or to just leave it. And my therapist was like, you will resent yourself if you don't go in there and speak your truth.
Yeah,
but this is your opportunity for closure. Like, you need to go and explain to him all of these things that you held on to and all of these things that why you felt taken for granted, why you felt like he didn't show up, why you felt like he was a different person when the cameras stopped rolling, like why he told you this, like before you got married and then 3 days after told you something else. That's a conversation that should have happened before you got married. It's just like, this is all things that you will regret and you will hold on to forever if you do not go and have your closure.
Yeah.
And that's what the reunion was for
that.
Me.
Yeah, yeah. I would have been swinging digs.
I would have been. I would have gone.
I think
in there,
you.
Like,
I think you said everything so well and made your points really.
Thank you.
Clearly,
you did. You came across so well in it, and like anything I've seen.
And like, it's hard because that's a 30-minute conversation, and you guys are saying 7 minutes of it.
That must be so frustrating.
So,
though,
and I was
you don't know
so
what's
unhappy
be out.
With my because I've all of the producers been like, "This is your time for your closure. Go out and say what you need to say." And I go out and say it, and that's all cut. You don't see any of that.
Do you not?
No. So I was really upset about it, and I'm sure Stephen's really upset about some of it as well.
Of course.
Do you know? Of course. I think you know, it wouldn't be fair to say, you know, there's definitely things he's probably going to be upset about from that reunion as well, but. Again, that's the joys of TV and what you've signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that was my closure, and that, you know, allows me to kind of step forward.
Yeah.
But it's nice to be able to come on and like talk to you guys and in a respectful way, fill in the gap for people, because I think 100%. There is so many questions people had.
Things unshown and everything. Like.
Mm.
And obviously it was filmed a year ago. How is that now a year on? Like, watching it back, is it
really triggering?
To see? Yeah, I'd say so.
Really triggering. Yeah. So I was actually diagnosed with depression at the start of the year when I was dealing with all of this, because you have to remember that, yes, a certain amount of people know, because once you get to the marriage and wedding stage, you can bring more people in and they can all sign NDAs, and like, you've 20 people that can come to the wedding. So you've 20 people that you can confide in. But you are putting on this front for the world because nobody knows that you've done this show. No one knows you got married, and no one knows you're going through a breakup, and not just a breakup, but like the breakdown of a marriage.
Yeah.
So it was incredibly difficult to constantly be like, I'm fine, I'm pretending like this is, I'm just like, have to disassociate and pretend that this isn't happening. While on the other hand, having to deal with this anticipatory grief for this relationship that I, not just a relationship, this marriage, like this life that I thought I was going to have with someone. And I found it incredibly difficult to deal with. I had a lot of embarrassment that I had let my friends come to that wedding. And then it had lasted such a short time.
Yeah.
So I kind of isolated myself from them as well. I went to LA on my own for a few weeks just to kind of just, I just worked from there, but just to clear my head and be on a different time zone so I didn't have to deal with talking to anyone, and also just so I could kind of process it. But like, there was days in LA where I didn't leave the room and I would just literally cry morning to night, order room service, wouldn't even eat it. Like, I was just curtains closed in the dark. but it was definitely part of my healing journey. Like I needed to
that time, like
to let it out. Like I think I'd been holding on to so much, and it was almost like this safe space away from where anyone knew me to just let it out. But it was really May before I really started feeling like myself again. Wow. Like my bridesmaid, one of my bridesmaid, Helen, I didn't tell her the full story till June.
Did you know?
Because it's just like, Ellie, I was so embarrassed.
Were you? Yeah.
Just, and like my friends were like, so you have no reason. Like, and I was like, you guys showed up for me. You were on TV. You didn't ask to be on TV. You did it for me. And you all paid out of your own pocket to come to this wedding, book flights, accommodation, trains, whatever, for a marriage that lasted a couple of months.
No, but I think friends should be there for you no matter what, regard. Like,
of course.
Your friend, your friends had no idea if it was going to last for however many years or like the rest of your life. Or, and I think once your friends are there with you through it all, like.
Yeah, because you would never feel that way. If it was one of them, you'd be like, of course, I'll be there.
I know, but it's hard to give that.
It's so hard.
And it's really difficult for me to, I think I still had to come to terms with it before I could really
100%.
Talk to them about it. But like, they're all, like, they've been, like, I'm so blessed for what I have in my life. I have so much gratitude for the incredible friends and family that I'm surrounded by, because honestly, they've gotten me through this year.
Yeah.
And did you feel like nearly two different people when no one knew and you're going through this breakup and then you're putting on the front for other people? It's like you're not, you're still like Hannah Montana vibes. Like,
full on. Like,
like, and people be asking you about it. Like,
well, it's like funny when someone's like, oh, so at one point I was literally married and happily married to an extent. But I, when someone's asking you if you're in a relationship, you're like, oh, I have a boyfriend. Do you know, like, you can't be like...
Can't say.
Married.
And so that's really strange. But then it was like things like with clients where they're coming to me and being like, Serena, like, fair play to you, because we would never have guessed in a million years that all of that had been going on. Like, when you've been working with us this whole year and we would not have had a clue. And then the harder part is then friends. Who you, because you only have 20 people, and like that includes family and everything. So people that you didn't bring into that inner circle, being like, you got married and didn't invite me to your wedding. And this is before they've seen the reunion, so they don't know that we're not still together. And they're like, so where's your husband? Have you been hiding your husband from me all of the,
and you can't say. And
I'm just like, So that's why between the wedding episodes and the reunion, I took myself away and like to the Formula One, because I was like, first of all, the amount of congratulations messages.
Really
hard. Really difficult. People being like, I
like,
love
you're
you
watching
guys.
It in the same time frame as everybody else, basically.
Oh my god, never even thought.
But you're the only one knowing the outcome of it. None of us have.
And
a
they
clue
all
the
think
outcome.
That you're still happy.
So
oh my
getting
god.
All of these congratulations messages. I'm so happy. I knew you guys were gonna last. Can't wait to hear your story. Can't wait to see what you've been up to.
Oh my god.
I mean, while I'm like crying into a chai latte.
Oh my god, in LA. Oh my god.
So like that was really, that week was probably between the marriage episodes being released and the reunion was probably one of the hardest.
So you went to F1 and said,
with a bunch of girls that I'd never met before didn't know me and just could go and have a lot of fun.
Unreal.
And what made you go get the diagnosis? Was there a point where you're like, this is actually more than just sadness?
So I actually didn't think I was depressed. Like didn't. I was like, I've just got really bad anxiety, blah. So my anxiety started getting to the point where I wasn't sleeping.
Okay.
So I started getting really bad insomnia. And I think it was just a case of, you know, I really hyperfixated on work. So that was fine. That kept me busy during the day. But then when I would go to sleep at night and you're in that silence, my brain just started overthinking everything, overanalyzing. What if I did this? Or what if he had done this? Or what if, and it's again that if, buts, and maybe. So I went to the doctor to be like, I'm not sleeping, blah, blah, blah. Like I've got bad anxiety and stuff. And like we sat and spoken and went through everything, and she's like, all these questions and blah blah blah, and I had been going to therapy at this point as well, and she's like, Serena, you've depression, like, and I was like, I'm not depressed, and she's like that song Taylor Swift, I can do it with a broken heart, like I'm
so
depressed that I act like it's my birthday. Like everyone would have just thought I was absolutely fine and living my best life, when the reality behind, like, there was days where I would just close my blinds and like not even step outside because I didn't want to speak to anyone. I didn't want to see anyone. I would just be ordering food, and then it would just be takeout boxes just piling up, and like I'd be ordering food and then maybe having like a slice of pizza and then not eating it, and like rest had no appetite. Yeah. And then my apartment was going to disarray, like, which is so unlike me. And you would have days of like that darkness for like maybe 4 or 5 days in a row, and then you would get like come out of it and come out the other side and like clean it, and then you'd be fine for a while, and then it would hit again. But it's so funny because even when I was going through all of that, I was like, I'm not depressed. And it took a doctor to say,
telling
me,
you, yeah,
this is depression. Like depression isn't what we all imagine it or how you assume it. Assume it's going to kind of appear in you individually. And then she gave me anxiety meds and they really have been really helpful. I'm really funny about like medication and like I'm like one of these people that like took Calpol up until they were like 27 because I was so free of like paracetamol. Yeah. And like I would never take sleeping tablets because I have this fear that I'll never wake up. Like it's so irrational.
I've never taken a sleeping tablet. No, yeah.
I'm
terrified. Yeah. And like so for me, I'm having insomnia and she's like sleep and I was like, I'm not taking a sleeping tablet.
Yeah.
And then she was like, we can put this on this like this medication every day. I was like, I don't want something I'm going to end up relying on. Mm. So we ended up with propranolol and it was like I could take up to 80 milligrams of it a day. And then she was like, you need to record it, see how you're getting on. Mm. If you're taking it every day, then we need to look at another option. But thankfully, that was enough that if I knew I was having like a really bad anxiety or a panic attack or whatever it may be, that I could take those and it would really ease the physical kind symptoms. Of elements of anxiety and depression. But yeah, it was crazy. And like I remember meeting one of my friends in, gosh, it must have been April or May. And she was like, Sabrina, I'm so shocked. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, talk about Instagram-free reality. She says, you're shaking. You're constantly regulating. She says, you're on, she says, I've never seen you like this. She said, I would have thought you've been living your best life on Instagram. And she says, like, the person in front of me is a shadow of the person I saw last year. Because I, again, avoided everyone. So I hadn't seen her in, like, 4 or 5 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm really worried about you. She says, like, this is just... She says, I'm genuinely shocked at of the person what in front of me.
It's mad how much you can put on a front to, and Instagram is just Instagram. It's like,
just pictures.
You can literally show how you want people to think you feel in that moment. Like,
And that's the added level of NDAs. Yeah. So I can't talk, you know,
of course, you couldn't. Yeah. You couldn't. Yeah.
You don't really feel like silenced, like you couldn't.
Not silenced, but I do feel like they're probably, like I did have welfare and support from the show, but I feel like there probably needs to be maybe a contingent, because I don't think this is a situation has ever happened before. Where a married couple has broken up before the reunion.
Okay.
And there probably needs to be a contingency.
Put in place.
Because
I agree.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that really hard.
Because it would have been nice for you to be able to go back to norm, but you couldn't. You had to pretend like...
Yeah, everything was hunky-dory.
Yeah. Do you have any regrets about the pods in general or like going on even?
The pods, no. I regret saying yes.
Do you?
Yes, because I knew in my heart of hearts, I knew it was real mind, heart, like my everything in me was like from an emotional perspective was going, say yes, this is your person.
Yeah.
The level-headed side of me was being like, this has not been enough time. Trust your intuition.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I did not listen to my intuition.
Yeah.
And I think my biggest lesson is probably being trust your intuition, ask questions later. And women, we know this better than men even. Like, we have that built in gut that, like, and they say it's like your second brain. Like, you have to listen to that. If that's telling you something, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And I did not listen. I actually got a tattoo for intuition when I was in Greece. So the holiday that I booked for me and Stephen, me and my friend went on.
Oh, lovely.
In May. And I got, like, a tattoo on that for, like, intuition and trusting my intuition. Because it's the one thing that I did not do on on the wedding day.
But that's such a nice learning lesson, though, to have.
Would have been nice to learn it before I got married.
The quote, it's like the first best time to do something is yesterday, but the second best is now or something. Mm. So it's like that.
That's the way you can look at it. Do you ever see yourself going on reality TV again?
I can't imagine I would do anything like Love is Blind like that would be severe. Like that was like that's...
It's as intense.
It's and it's also, it's marriage is like a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's actually one of the only shows that actually is a legal marriage. So I don't think I would go on anything that's like as vulnerable.
British Bake Off.
Well, I can't bake, so I'll definitely not be going on that either.
Come dine with me, something
really light.
Look, I mean, right now I know, but never say never. I suppose it would depend on what the opportunity was and what came away. But at the minute, I'm very much not in the mindset for reality TV or TV in general. Look, as I say, never say never, but right now it's just not.
You're happy in Belfast.
Yeah. Happy, you know, all my clients are in Dublin, so I get to come to Belfast and Dublin.
And you're traveling.
I'm really love my work. I love my clients and I get to travel now as much as I want. And
I love that.
So that's just, it's going to sound so bizarre, but the normality of work has been a godsend the last few years.
It's like,
something that you know is normal, like what you're used to.
Yeah.
And how's it having like, loads of followers now, and like people from all over the world. Like are people messaging all the time who you don't know? Like, how
do you know what's been so lovely? So like, I think it's like 96 or 97% of my followers are female.
Love.
Yeah. So nice. And I have had women from all around the world message me and tell me their stories.
Oh.
And like, that does not necessarily mean about breakups, but like people tell me about the conversations that they've had to have about kids. People telling me conversations about their dad. People telling me, oh, this is what happened in my relationship and why I left. Or, do you know, I was stuck in this and you really showed me that I'm strong enough to walk away from this situation. Yeah. And like, just incredible the amount of, I have not had one negative message, which I think is insane to think.
Yeah.
Like, even when I put up those question boxes and stuff, I have not had any negative. Of course, on my posts, I'll get the odd comment.
Yeah.
But like 99.9% of what I've received has been overwhelmingly
positive. I've seen so many TikToks about you as well, and they're all like loving you.
Mm.
All
the Americans are like, this girl is Sabrina.
I'm like,
what was the one you saw today? And it was like, we need Sabrina. So
we need her on the podcast, on a podcast quick.
And it's funny because I think it's really difficult. Like, was it Maria that I was talking to? So me and Maria would be very close. And she was saying about like Twitter, and then someone else was saying about Reddit. And I was like, I haven't read any of that. And Maria was like, what? And I was like,
no.
I'm not looking for anything. I'm not commenting on anything. Like, I just, like, this was a trauma for me. And I just, and it wasn't all, that's awful. It's just describe it as a trauma, but it did, it was, at the end of it, it was a trauma for me.
It
was an incredible experience. When things, and like, that's the other thing. If things had went well, we could have been like Ben and Nicole and Bobby and Jazzy and been in this like really great, wonderful relationship. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that just did not work out for us that way. Yeah. But imagine it had off. I don't regret doing the show. I don't regret picking Steven. Like, I think you can see the connection was there.
Yeah.
For me, it was real. It was genuine. And I went in there with an open heart and open mind to find my person, and I trusted the process.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think you're amazing. And
I think you did everything that you could have done and should have done.
And I think even like you said, people messaging saying they found the strength to walk away. Like, you walking away from that even is so strong because it's something you wanted so badly to work. And didn't. And I think that's an example in itself.
So many people saying things just to stay in them.
Yeah.
Say they're saying.
Or they think, it's not bad enough to leave. But like, when you think about it, it is.
No,
someone not treating you right in any sense is
bad. And that goes for friendships as well. You know, I've walked away from friendships and stuff as well. Yeah. You know, I really believe. And I think that's probably been a blessing in the sense of that I took those few years to work on myself, that I did therapy, that I traveled. Like, I really know who I am.
Yeah.
And I know what I expect and how I expect to be treated. And I went in there and I was, because of who I knew who I was, I was able to be authentically myself, but I also know the standards that I expect other people to kind of treat me with. Yeah. And I think that's maybe a blessing of dating when you're older. You know who you are and you know what you want.
Yeah. You want them to like add to your life, not to be like, not a burden, but like,
just a burden.
Just to make
not
it better.
Stress.
Not to be like a stress. Yeah, yeah. Like, you want them to have their own life, but also just compliment each other in
all
a good
pluses,
way.
And
that
no
was, the,
minus.
That was the great thing. And me and Stephen had both said that, you know, we wanted a partner.
Yes.
But we wanted someone who could add value to each other's lives, become each other's lives.
Yeah.
No.
And that was so important for both of us.
Yeah.
Because we both were so independent and both did have our own stuff going on.
Yeah.
And like, my worst idea ever is someone who, like, I become their entire world. Like, that would just be like an absolute
panic. Get off me, Darren.
Yeah.
Is that Which it? Is why long distance then.
I don't know. Wait, what's that thing? I'm claustrophobic. Oh,
what is it?
I'm claustrophobic, Darren. When you say claustrophobic, I was like, I'm claustrophobic, Darren.
Yeah, that's Gemma.
Why did I say, get off me, Darren? There's no Darren's on top of me. Like, don't worry. I swear. No, Darren. Don't worry. No, Darren.
I'm dead. Oh. And is there any wanting you now to date again or in the future, or you have not thought about that yet?
Right now,
no.
I feel like no man, no stress.
Yes.
I just want to focus on my business, focus on my friends, my family, traveling. I'm just not in the headspace. Like,
yeah.
And I think until everything's kind of finalized with the marriage, I think for me, that's a, because like, how do you even go
to block it?
So don't know if you watch this reality TV show, but I got married. How do you even have that conversation?
Yeah.
Because they might have watched the show, they might not
have watched the show.
So at what point I bring that up? What point I bring up I was married? Like, it's all of these things that I know I have to navigate that I have never, ever had to consider.
Yeah.
God.
Well, a lot of people wouldn't have to consider that either. So like, it is something that.
What do you think? Will you mention it straight away?
What do you do?
I have no idea.
I feel like I would.
I'd do the typical Irish, make a joke of it. That's what we do. That's just how the Irish deal with everything. You make a joke of it.
Yeah, but often they thought you were joking and you're like, no, actually, like, was married.
Well, you were like, well, I told them. If they didn't believe it, that's on them.
Exactly. Push the blame on them then. They didn't believe me. So, yeah.
No, but it's hard. And I wonder, and like, and maybe that's a great question for your listeners. There's a lot of people who are dating second time around who have been divorced. So like, how do you, like, it would be great to understand how do people who are divorced navigate
When do
that?
You bring that up?
When do you bring it up? And
we had people ask about, actually, when do you bring kids up?
Yeah.
So someone... was it a dating app or something they'd met? And she's going on a date with him, which doesn't know whether to say
beforehand.
She has kids straight away. And we had people typing in and giving advice and all. But it's, I think that, what was the main consensus like to say right off the bat? And then you weed out the bad ones.
Yeah.
Because you've said it, it's out there. And then
you'll know if someone's, if that's something that somebody doesn't want
has a problem with,
which they're completely entitled to as well. Like they don't want to date somebody who has a kid or whatever. Like
I think that's different though, because kids are very, like, kids are a massive deal.
It's a whole
like,
lot that's some,
like, you know, if they're your kids, you're going to be so protective of it. You have to look out for them. So if you're dating someone, they need to know that, like, this is a package deal. Like, they come with me.
Yeah.
But being divorced, it's not the same. It's not the same considerations because it's not going to have an impact.
Yeah.
Unless you share kids or anything like that. There's no impact there.
True.
So at what point? But also some people might find that they don't want to date someone who's been married before because they want to do it one time with one person. And so it's just a really, I don't know.
Yeah.
If anyone has any advice, let me know.
I feel like I'd bring up the show, but then you can't bring up the show without bringing up the divorce either. Do you know, it's hard.
It's like that, don't talk about your exes on like a first date.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on a date and tell someone I'm married or I was married. Do you know, I can't tell them about the show without saying, well, I actually did get married and this is why I got married and this is why it didn't work out.
Yeah.
I don't want to have that. That's a terrible first date. Yeah. Like, I want to have fun. I'm like, do you know what I mean?
Do you start talking about shows and be like, should I ever watch Love is Blind?
And if they're like, no.
And the other thing is, some people might be really adverse to dating someone who's done reality TV.
True,
I used to think that about, would people be adverse to dating influencers?
And did you ever meet anyone who was like, not for me?
No.
I mean, you're a babe, so who's going to
know?
Who's going to say, like, it's a really bad, like, test group?
But also, I feel like people just wouldn't have approached, if they did have a problem with it, they wouldn't approach.
Yeah.
So when you met someone, how did you know it was for genuine reasons and not because of who you were?
I met Dano when I had 30K at the time, I remember. I think because he was a footballer, I was like, he also has a bit of a profile. So I'm like, I just trusted that. But I did have that thought then when me and Dana broke up, because I was like single forever time. I was like, if I meet someone new, like, how will I know that now that I have more followers, if it is genuine?
Are they only with your followers?
Like, yeah. It is definitely a thought that crossed your
mind.
It's
a weird world that you even have to think that nowadays, isn't it?
Like, but then I feel like people wouldn't go as far as to being with you in a relationship if that's what they wanted.
Well,
maybe, like, do you think?
Oh, there's some freaks out there, girl.
Really?
Freaks.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm getting married with Dano.
Anyway.
Aww.
Yeah, you are.
Well,
hopefully it works out better for you than it did for me. I'm really happy for you.
You will find your people charming.
Really
you
great. That's working out for you, Charlene. Way to rub it in.
I always say we're getting married.
No, you do.
But
you
we're
do.
Not. Like,
you
we're not good.
You are. Well, Sabrina, we can't thank you enough for coming in and spilling, not even spilling the gospel, just filling us in on you and your life and everything that
I'm being so open on.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
It's really
amazing.
Thank you so much for listening. You can go back to listen to our bonus episode from Monday, Home or Drink Extra Juice. So make sure to listen to that.
What?
I can't speak anymore.
Fresh.
So make sure to listen back to that now before a new bonus episode next Monday. And don't forget, you can watch us on YouTube now as well, with full video being released every Thursday at 12 p.m. Make sure to like, rate and subscribe to the podcast. And we love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. It's back to school season, and while I am more than happy not to be spending my days studying, I do miss learning new things and feeling like you're growing so much.
Yeah, I feel like as adults, we just never make the time to learn something new. Like, what was the last thing that you think you learned?
Probably Mai Tai, but that was months and months ago now. So I do want to reconnect with that sense of curiosity that I had as a child.
Yeah. And that's where therapy can help. It offers you a chance to have your back to school era no matter your age. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
Because it's entirely online, it's convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule, unlike school or college.
And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist. And if you want, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
With over 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/HMD today to get 10% off your first month.
That's betterhelp.com/HMD.